You're listening to the Westside Podcast, a part of the LA International Church of Christ family of churches, worshiping God in LA since 1989.
That is our mantra, belong, believe, become. But our theme is love the Lord your God from the Shema, right? Let's not forget. And the Shema means listen. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, right? And so that's our theme for the year. We really want to live into loving God with our whole being, our whole self. And so we're embarking now on some deepening of our spiritual formation. I think I had mentioned solitude. We're going to be going into solitude in July and August. We've got a number of our own members that are working on growing in their teaching, some excellent teachers of the Bible here. We're going to be teaching about solitude in July and August. But for the month of June, for the next midweek and the next, I want to explore our spiritual formation, and I want to urge all of us to re-engage discipleship, re-engage mentoring, helping, admonishing, strengthening one another spiritually. And so you'll see, I have available to you, and I even created some QR codes. Our dear CJ has flown off to the UK, but you know he's left a legacy. So I've got a couple QR codes for us tonight, and I have a 9-week discipleship guide and manual, both for leaders or just for every member, to really engage in one-on-one connections and spiritual growth. Amen. And we're going to use the material that we've been talking about as we go through it. One of the things we've been talking about is the book Renovation of the Heart. We'll talk about that in a minute here. But we do need to go on a deep dive into our spiritual formation and on growth. Belong, believe, become is the mantra that we've had for a number of years. We have adopted that because it models God's first move towards us, right? Belong is that he said, you belong within my economy of love. You belong within the family. Whether you even believe it or not, he sent his son to die for all mankind. He says, you belong with me. Now, we have to choose him at some point, right? We have to choose to believe it. We choose to become disciples. But he says, man, I want you with me. And that's the heart of us as a West Side, is we want to reach our world and say, God has a plan for you. Join us. Amen. We want to grow in that. And so we're going to talk today. Our main focus today is going to be the first lesson of this 9-week discipleship. I'm going to sort of whet your appetite, and then I'm making available to you today the whole plan of what we're going to go through. So we'll look at that. The 9-week map is belong, and we're going to talk about identity, community, and honesty. Believe, we're going to talk about understanding God's word and letting it shape our interior selves. Understanding God's character and the power of when we comprehend the gospel, how much that can really change you from the inside out. And of course, become, hey, we want to become more and more like Jesus. We need healthy spiritual disciplines, and we want to become a growing community in our greater, you know, part of the world right here, as well as all over the world. And so a book we suggested that you buy and that we get into is a book called Renovation of the Heart by Dallas Willard. Dallas Willard has since passed on, but he has written so many good books. We've recommended you buy it. It's a deep book to help you really think deeply about how you're doing spiritually. A lot of you guys remember at our midweeks over the past years, CJ taught us this idea of VIM, vision, intention, and means, right? CJ loved that because it made a lot of sense to him. That came from this book, Renovation of the Heart, right? That's where CJ learned and began to teach from that. So you're going to see a ton of stuff. I'm probably not going to get into the VIM as much as CJ did, but I found a quote from the book that I think is so inspiring. And the book, Renovation of the Heart, is something for you to read in your quiet times. And it's something I want you, it's going to be the framework around which a lot of the belong, believe, become stuff in our discipleship that I've put together is based, all right? So you want that as a companion book to be reading, and it just takes you into some great depth. Now, follow me on this quote. I love this quote. I don't know if you can read it. I think you can, all right? This is something he put early on in the book, and it just to me, sets the tone of what we're doing. The revolution of Jesus, and yes, following Jesus is a revolution, all right? Following Jesus changes things. It says, is in the first place and continuously a revolution of the human heart or spirit. It did not and does not proceed by means of the formation of social institution and laws, the outer forms of our existence, intending that these would then impose a good order of life upon people who come under their power. Rather, his is a revolution of character, which proceeds by changing people from the inside through ongoing personal relationship to God in Christ and to one another. It is one, this transformation, this revolution of the inside, it is one that changes their ideas, beliefs, feelings, and habits of choice, as well as their bodily tendencies, what you actually do, and your social relations. It penetrates to the deepest layers of their souls. From those divinely renovated depths of the person, social structures will naturally be transformed so that justice rolls down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. Amos 5:24. It is the only thing that can do so. In other words, he's saying, listen, if we want to change life on earth, which Jesus is asking us to have his will be done on earth as it is in heaven, if we want true righteousness, if we want to fight for that, it starts by causing his Holy Spirit, allowing his Holy Spirit to transform you, right? We don't, the institutions of our culture, they don't change our heart. Jesus and the Holy Spirit changes our heart. And as we change, we begin to affect and change the society that we live in. And then we do start various social events and things that we do. And we create, of course, if you look at the grand history of Christianity, I mean, it's the largest impact in human history. All the hospitals built, all the benevolent good deeds that have been done all over the world to heal and save and change and be kind to the hurting, the poor, the marginalized, to transform lives, to give people a hope on this earth, to live for something, then whoever has the most toys when they die win, right? That's what America teaches you, right? Whoever's the richest is the most successful. That is just not true. It brings emptiness and desolation to the soul. And so this book, I mean, that's just one little paragraph in his book. I mean, it's packed with deep stuff like that. It's, you know, you just pull that. That's enough to meditate on right there. I wanted to present that to you. You know, we're not going to go through chapter by chapter in all our studies, but I have used it as a framework to outline the studies on discipleship, which I think are very accessible. If you're having a hang time with your small D group of women or men, or you have a one-on-one mentoring or just prayer partner time, I want to urge you, this guide that I've created, you can go through. It's 9 weeks of discipling on based on this renovation of heart, but also based upon the idea of belong, believe, become, which is something we want to live into because I believe that's God's trajectory for each of us. Amen. So here's the slides. And I have both a leadership manual that if you're leading a small group and you want to do one of these studies, or you're leading a D group, or if you're just doing one-on-one hang time, or all of us can download the participant's guide. Okay. So you can click that right there. We'll make that available on the website as well, but please, you know, click on those QR codes, if your phones work. I know I don't know if you can focus in on each one separately or if it's getting confused right there from the distance. But James, we'll get that on the website. We'll make it available to everybody. It's really rich and deep material, accessible to all of us, something we can use to just grow spiritually. We always need some new thing to help us just take another step forward in our spirituality. Amen? All right. So I want to start off, before we go any further, with a question for each of you, okay? The question is, and I just want you to talk to the people next to you, where have you seen God's grace in your life this week? All right, just take like 2 minutes. Where have you seen the grace of God in your life in some way just this past week? Okay, let's talk for 2 minutes. Okay, I'm sure I'm seeing smiles on a lot of your faces, and that's a good thing. Remembering the grace of God's crucial, right? And as we develop our spirituality, that's just a good thing. Hey, I see Vincent over there. What's up, Vincent? Laura, welcome, man. It's great to see you, brother. And Vincent is in Ben's wedding, and so Amen, bro. Can't wait to see you there. I know Ben's getting married on Friday, so really, really encouraging. A lot of people in the house for that. Okay, so let's go on into today's lesson. And we're going to just, like I said, today I'm giving you a taste of all these lessons. We're going to go through the first one as a whole group, right? So you can see what these discipleship lessons are all about. Something you could do in a small group or even one-on-one, but we're going to do it today with all of us together. So today there's really one thing I want you to walk away with and know. You are God's beloved child. You are God's beloved child. And what I want you to do is simply spend daily time this week receiving God's love. And we're going to give you a little example of one way to do that. We're going to practice it even tonight. Amen. But we want to begin understanding that we are God's beloved child. We know the scriptures teach that, but let's read some of the text where we see it point blank, where God helps give us this, our identity. And that's what we're talking about tonight, is where we get our deepest identity, because we end up acting out of the identity that the tapes that play in our mind of who we really are. And so I want us to begin with the Word of God. Amen? All right, so Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4 and 5 says, "For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will." Now, I want you just to sit. You can read that back over. I want you to think, what one word jumps out at you? Just let it sit. Adoption. Adoption jumps out at me. And we know that is a choice by God to say, "You are mine. I will raise you as my own." And it's a special thing. And it's a decision by God to say, "I have chosen you." And this reminds me, by the way, I want to have a special prayer for Billy and Rose. Billy just found out that his adopted sister passed away. Let's have a prayer for his family right now. I meant to do that in the welcome, but I forgot to mention it to Mark. So let's go ahead and have a prayer for Billy. Father in heaven, we want to pray right now for Billy and Rose and Billy's extended family as his adopted sister has passed. Father, we know that you are the God of all comfort. Please comfort them, comfort the family. Father, we just trust your love infinitely. And may our hearts go out to him, be considerate of him and their whole family. He and Rose are mourning at this time. May we mourn with him. Father, we love you. We thank you that you are our adopted parent. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's go to the next verse on this. All right. The spirit of sonship. So we read in Romans 8, verse 15 and 16, it says, "The spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children." And my understanding of Abba is it's the very personal. It's what, you know, I called my father, I called him Dad. Hey, Dad, right? I called him Dad. And when you're a little kid, you call him Daddy, right? My grandson, he calls me Papa, right? And then for some reason, he started calling me Poppy recently. He got confused. Poppy, and I was like, "It's Papa. You're going to try your other grandpa will be Poppy." So we're trying to train him, but he's just getting Poppy, Papa. But you know, it's that personalness, right? And it's an endearing thing. And the scriptures say that by him we cry, Abba, Father, Dad. And I know a lot of us probably that seems odd as we think about our relationship with God. It's maybe we're not used to that level of intimacy, but that is what God desires from us. He does look at us the same way. And I love the verse where it says quite simply, you know, hey, the Spirit testifies, we are God's children. So you have a spirit of sonship. And, you know, when you feel that spirit, that ownership, there's a security that comes with that. Spirit of, you know, sonship and daughtership, right? You feel from God like, I'm protected. You know, sometimes many of us have grown up in families where we didn't feel that. Maybe we didn't have a dad. A lot of my friends did not have fathers growing up. A lot of our culture doesn't. And I know that's painful. It's wounding. And it can be very challenging. I'm super grateful my father. He's 85. He's still alive and has, you know, he's still my calm dad. He calls me up. And he even calls me, how's my young boy? And I'm like, Dad, I'm 58. I'm your young. He says, you'll always be my young boy. Because I was the youngest of the his first three. Then he had three more, okay? So now I'm older than all the other three, like 20 years, right? He had three more at like 20 years later. But I'm his young guy. I'm like, Dad, I'm 58. I'm not your young boy. He's like, you'll always be able to be to me. But there's a security that does come from that. And there's a comfort there. And I think that that's how God wants us to feel. Hey, you're my daughter. You're my daughter. You're my son. And he knows you personally. And you have a spirit of family and sonship. That's what God's saying to each of us. We can't forget that. Amen? All right, last verse on this I want to read. See, 1 John 3:1. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And you see the exclamation point there. I don't read the Greek, but I'm assuming the writers knew the way it was written. You got to put that exclamation point in there, right? And he says, and that is what we are. So two in a row, two exclamation points, right? That John, the writer, he's making this a strong statement, you know, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. This is powerful. It's not just an idea. The spirit, the clarity of the scripture says, God says, you belong. You're mine. And we know that when we receive Jesus by faith in the waters of baptism and by his mercies, he gives us his spirit. We are new creations. We are sons and daughters of God, right? We are sons and daughters of God. You have a dad in heaven, and he is jealous for you. He's interested in you. He's concerned about you. And I know I'm a parent. I'm a grandparent. I am very concerned about my family. I'm always interested in them. I'm wondering what they're up to. And you know, a lot of times I just want to hang out with them. Carrie and I were in a conversation with another ministry couple that's on sabbatical right now. And we're we're being their sabbatical coaches. And we were talking with them about this. And the brother was sharing about how he got to spend time with his daughter. And he's like, I just spent time with her. I hadn't had time like that with her in so long. His daughter's grown up, everything, but it was just the time meant so much to him. And he has more space in his life right now. And he just said, it's making a difference. This time together matters. And that's how God feels about us. He wants time with us. He likes it when we clear schedule our time and our schedule to get out to the beach or out to the mountains or just a walk or whatever. You clear your little space in your own house and you make time. And we'll be talking more about that in July and August about solitude, but we need time. And I want you to understand that as a parent, that's parents. I mean, whoever else is in here, a parent, you know, you just want time with your kids. You don't even care really what they're doing. We'll do what they want to do. I just want to be with you. I want you to think about how if God thinks that about you, he's like, you don't have to perform. I just want to be with you. You guys with me on that? So this is what Willard was talking about quite frequently in his book. He's talking about how our soul and our identity, and he listed off like our feelings, all these things comprise our heart. The heart is the center of the person, and it's our feelings, it's our character, it's our choices that we make, and God wants that to be transformed by understanding that our identity comes from him. Right? We are made in the image of God. We don't earn our belonging, right? And see, transformation begins by receiving the truth that God already loves us in Christ. That's the power of the gospel. It's proof that you are accepted and loved. All right? It's proof. We have a role in any relationship. We have a role to play. Like every relationship, for it to be healthy, there's, you know, we want to reciprocate our love, but we don't earn the love. We don't earn the belonging. It's a choice that God has made to adopt us to say, I love you. You are mine. That is the message of belong. That's why I like a lot of churches in the old days, you know, we would have our mantra would be believe, become, right? Believe the gospel, become a disciple, and then you belong to the family of God. Isn't that how it usually is? Like you would think intuitively, oh, okay, you got to believe the gospel. Then you, once you believe it, then you become what he wants you to become, and then you belong. But I think that what that negates is the initiating love of Jesus. He didn't come to earth, you know, oh, okay, if you do enough, then I'll come and die for you. You see how he inverts? That's why the gospel is mesmerizing to people. It's like, what? You did this for me even though I wasn't with you? I didn't care about you? I didn't know you? Right. I'm initiating with you. And that's the call of the church. Like that's what evangelism originates out of. Not because we have to, but because Jesus did it first, right? That's the idea of, especially this works great for our own families and our children in the ministry. You know, they're not disciples yet, but don't we want them to feel like they belong, right? Don't we want them to feel like you're included? Don't we want people when they come to church to feel accepted and not judged? I mean, we're a judgmental culture in general in America. And too often as a church, we've just been judgmental. I know I can be judgmental. And the Bible's, don't be judgmental. That's why I like our mantra of belong. It starts with belong. That doesn't mean that you are a saved disciple of Jesus the day you walk in the door, but you're loved the same. You're not loved more. I hope you're not loved more after you get baptized than before you got baptized, right? I think that's a heart check for each of us. That's God's mindset, is that we don't earn belonging. It's a choice God has made. And so if you can get your identity formed based upon that, you're going to do really well. I mean, you're going to start making good choices. You're going to have stability. You're not going to over or underreact. You're not going to have tapes playing in your mind that cause you to choose sinful things to medicate the pain you have. Because you're like, I am valued. I'm made in the image of God. My identity is not socially constructed. It's spiritually defined. God says you are valuable, you are loved, and you are made the way I wanted you to be made. Exactly as you are, I made you that way. And we all have different dispositions. I mean, I could go on and on about this. This is neat. But we have different dispositions and talents and gifts. But we got to figure out more and more how to live into those and reveal the glory of God in who we are. You got to know you and live into who you are. And let's see. Or I'm going to keep. I have a lot to say on this. I'll put it in a future sermon. All right, let's keep going. The identity question that a lot of us have is this. You know, we know we're loved by God, but we still practically function from fear, performance, approval, shame, or comparison. And I want you to think about that. I want to take a few minutes to talk about this, okay, with the people next to you. All right, so here's the things. Here's some of the false identities we carry. And I'll tell you, I mean, I have taken there was a time we did the Enneagrams, which are a really cool historical, a lot of ancient stories on Enneagrams to determine your disposition or your personality. And I was a three, which is like the achiever. Like I feel like in my I've got to achieve, got to achieve. And guess what? America is a country of achievers. And I would dare say the whole world, you know, is that, but not completely. Some don't get their identity from what they achieve. It's much more relationship-based and security-based. But a lot of men, I think we can be this way. And so I fall into that. Like, I am what I accomplish. I'm doing great. I read the Bible for 3 hours, and I studied the Bible with 5 people, and I had 10 appointments. The harder I work, the happier I am. Okay, I did take a test and I came out, I am like 99th percentile in extroversion. So if I overwhelm you, just point it out to me. I'm sorry. I am high on the extroversion scale, really high. And there are some blessings in that and there are some curses in that, right? You have to know, not everybody's like that. But so accomplishing things can be my identity and it's just not our identity, right? It's not. And so God's always been teaching me, like, slow down. Sometimes we just get too fixated on our failures. We've hit rock bottom. We've had hard times. We haven't attained what we thought we would, and we have bad tapes playing in our head all the time. And so our identity is negative. Maybe you didn't have that family member, or you've had hard times, or things that you had these dreams, and you feel disillusioned, and so you feel like, well, things didn't go the way I wanted. Some of us have faced great trauma, and that's not to be minimized, but we are not our pain, right? That is also the message of the cross. Is that the message of the cross is we all are responsible for the death of Jesus. And though we all hurt one another, none of us can blame one another, right? We got to be careful of throwing stones at other people when each of us is responsible for the death of Jesus. And yes, I was talking to a brother about how I had 1 year where I had 4 family members die in 1 year, close family members. And I was like, that was tough. And you need to mourn that. You need to mourn that. That happens. But you know, you're not, your whole being is not defined by that. It's defined by God saying you're loved. That doesn't mitigate pain or those things. We don't sidestep those things, but our identity is deeper than that. Also, our identity is not what people think of us. Okay, and John, this verse has been running through my mind a lot lately. John 7, verse 12. You can write this one down. In John 7, 12, it says, many of the people at the festival said Jesus is a good man. And in the same verse, it says, but others says, no, he deceives the people. So if he was based in his identity, what people thought of him, he would be very neurotic, right? We cannot let our sense of self be what people think of us. And that's also a weakness. You know, when you're an achiever, you want to please people, right? And so you can't let that be your focus either, right? It's got to be bigger than that. So here's what I want us to do right now. I want us to go ahead and I just want us to talk for a few minutes. Which of these false identities, let's be vulnerable, which of these maybe can you identify with? Which one feels familiar this week? All right, let's take a couple minutes and talk about that, okay? Which one of these false identities can we be tempted to fall into as we define ourselves? All right, let's take a few minutes for that.
Okay, I hope you had a little bit of vulnerability there. We can all get our identity or be tempted with the wrong things. Vulnerability helps you engage that so you can dispel it. And then you can go on to what God really wants, right? And so we're not going to have time right now, but if you're in an actual time of discussion, this is a really good further discussion, you know, these kinds of questions. What identity do you struggle to believe? Where do you still try to earn approval? How would this week change if you lived as God's beloved child? And these are good in-depth discussions to have with a trusted friend. Because as you peel back those layers of where our identity comes from, it begins to affect how you do everything in life and how you think and how you process. So it's very important that we understand we do belong to God. Amen. So here's what I want us to do right now. I want us to just take a few moments. All right. This is a practice you can do, and I want to urge us to do this week. But I want us to just right now, quiet down for just a moment. And you can see on the screen the question. The question is, Jesus, how do you see me right now? And I want us to close our eyes and let God sort of speak to you. Close your eyes right now. Jesus, how do you see me right now? Okay, if you can pull out your, all of you have phones and all of them have a little note app. I want you to write one sentence. What ran through your mind in one sentence? How does Jesus see you? In light of those scriptures that we looked at about belonging. All right, pull out your phone. Just good exercise, right? Just even if it's one word, type it in there. Free to be who he created you to be. Amen. Thanks for sharing that. Catherine sees you as a sister. How precious is that? And that's true. Amazing. Awesome. My daughter, mine. That's rich. I love it. Maybe somebody over here. Okay, come on, Ifiteo. Deeply loved. And you need a place to rest, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Amen. Okay, here's the challenge. I want to close out in our normal time. We get done in an hour. This week, I want you to do what we just did. For just 5 minutes. Sit quietly with God. No phone, no agenda. You can use a notepad this time. And just repeat. In quiet meditation, I belong to God. I am his. Just for 5 minutes, because you want your identity to be formed by that truth. That is a biblical truth. You could reread the scriptures. And it's very important for your personal identity to be formed the right way. We're all tempted to form it through something else. But you got to reinforce the right identity because it plays out into who you are on the inside. And that begins to change everything we do, what we become as a church, and how our entire society begins to function. Changing you changes our world. So meditate on that for 5 minutes a day. Amen. And then another thing you can do, I really do want to urge us, and I was talking to Mark, our elder, about we really want to move in the direction of all of us re-engaging discipleship of one another, mentoring of one another, talking deeply about how we're all doing, scheduling regular times with people in our lives on a consistent basis. Get it in your schedule every Friday, every Sunday. I was talking to one brother this week. He says, well, I just, after Sunday after church, I meet with my group. I was like, great, okay. You're having a little discipleship time with your group. You got to find some time on a consistent basis to get real, amen? So I want you to do that so you can have that kind of follow-up, all right? And here's some questions you can talk to one another about, one-on-one follow-up. You know, what did you notice in stillness? What false identity showed up? Where did you feel resistance? And how can I, and then you ask one another, how can I pray for you? All right, we want to grow spiritually as a church, amen? We want to deepen our true spirituality so it's not a forced thing. But there are times that you do have to be obedient. You do have to follow through with what you agreed to do. But we want it to really be formed inside of us. That's my hope, that all of us would really be formed deeply through our identity in God. Amen? Let's close out with a prayer and we'll be dismissed. Father in heaven, thank you so much for tonight to delve into understanding this core truth that you love us, that we belong with you, that you predestined to adopt us as your children, that we are your children, that we have a spirit of sons and daughters that help us to connect with you, engage with you, be able to call you dad and know it's real, feel like it's authentic, and then live out our lives with that understanding of who we are as people. Father, we thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, guys. Love you. You're dismissed. That's our midweek for tonight.
You've just listened to the Westside Podcast. For more information about our ministry, please visit thewestsidechurch.com or laicc.net.